Welcome to the Art of Slowing Down to Quantum Leap podcast that I created especially for conscious introvert entrepreneurs. And if you desire to grow and quantum scale without the hustle and are ready to discover the missing pieces to effortlessly running a solo-aligned business, then this is for you. And I'm your host, Annalena Fuchs, a human design and energetic alignment coach. And my mission with this podcast is to provide you with a shortcut to your most aligned path to success and financial freedom using a powerful combination of human design, science, and spirituality. And I myself have shifted from working 9 to 5 to now enjoying the freedom of creating things on my own terms. And I want to help you do the same. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Art of Slowing Down podcast. It's Annalena here, your host, and I'm very delighted to have a beautiful guest with me. Her name is Jen Beveridge. I believe she's a listener as well. And I will share a little bit about her, and then we will take it away. So Jen is a lifelong seeker of purpose who has tried on many hats in search of living her purpose, including being an author, woman's weight loss coach, Reiki master, certified sex, love, and relationship coach, human design and gene keys devotee, and Akashic Records reader, just to name a few. And along her journey, she learned what she was seeking was not outside of her, but within her all along. She was seeking to experience the fullest expression of herself and to share that with the world. Through learning and living her human design and gene keys, she did the healing work to love every single part of herself, no matter what, so she could show up as her fullest embodied expression, share her unique gifts, and teach other women to do the same. This just all sounds so wonderful, and I'm having almost goosebumps. Welcome, Jen. Well,
thank you, Annalena. Thank you so much. I am a listener, and I'm so grateful to be here having a conversation with you, especially about anything human design and gene keys.
Yeah, I think I was telling you, right? I recently made the decision that with my episodes and also my guests that I have come on, the main topic is going to be around, well, money, human design, gene keys. That's my jam. Not that when human design is not there, it's not relevant. It's just that's what our jam is, right? And it has made such a difference in our lives. And I know from the feedback from the listeners, there's just so many people out there that are craving for more understanding of human design and the gene keys. So tell us about your story and this never-ending seek for your purpose and what happened when human design came finally.
Yeah, oh boy. It's a long story. I'll try to make it short. I don't know. From a very young age, I felt like I was here to do something important, impactful in the world, but I had no idea what that was. And I just did what most people do. And I went about life and I kind of followed. I mean, I am a generator, so I followed each opportunity that came to me and responded. I joined the military. I became a wife and mother, all the while feeling like there was something missing that I was looking for, not really knowing what it was, and also not feeling ready to pursue it. And I went through a spiritual awakening in the end of 2012. Oh my God, it was so long ago. In the end of 2012, I didn't realize that's what it was at the time, but now I can look back and I can see it went from, it was like I had blinders on in what I could see in the world to this, like the whole world blew open. And I was like, what is this? What is this world? And what are these gifts that I'm experiencing? Because I identify as an empath. I think that's probably one of my prominent gifts, although the others have come more online over the years as I've developed them. But that was the biggest thing for me. It was like, whoa, I'm feeling everybody's energy all the time. It's swaying me. It's making me make decisions maybe that aren't in my best interests. And so I started to go down the spiritual path outside of religion. I actually have a story around leaving religion because of my spirituality. I don't know that I need to get into that now. If you want to hear more, let me know. But that was a long path to human design, honestly. I had heard about human design many times and I was like, whatever. Yeah, okay, I'm a generator. I have no idea what that means. Yep, I have emotional authority. Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. It was probably about the third or fourth time that human design came into my sphere where I actually heard this time that the not self theme for generators is frustration. And when I was looking around in my business, my coaching business, all I was being met with was frustration. And so I thought, you know what? If this human design thing can teach me how to feel more satisfied and less frustrated, then I'm going to give it a try. And so I'm a 1-3, as you know. My try is always to learn first and to do second. That's pretty much how it goes. I want to learn everything there is about it before I actually take action on it. And that's pretty much what I did. It was probably about a year into learning about human design before I started living the experiment. And then I started to really see the benefits of it, where I started to use my emotional authority instead of making very expensive mistakes, jumping into decisions in the moment, because I didn't give myself space to really feel into it. And even if I had, I didn't know what that felt like for me. So going through the experiment, I started to learn that, okay, cool, I might be lit up in the moment, but if 24 hours later I check in and I feel nothing about it, it's not for me. But if instead I feel peaceful and expansive, that's a yes in my emotional authority.
Can I share something which I think
Please do.
is so important? Two things actually, because sometimes with human design, I think we can take things too black and white, right? And for me, human design, and you know this, like it's a very expansive tool. It's not like to put us in a box. So one of the things that when I first learned about human design, oh, people that have an undefined solar plexus are the empath. Now, and it's funny, you have this emotional authority, right? So your emotional solar plexus is defined. Mine is completely open, right? And what I have found from my own experiment, yours, listening to you right now, and the amount of amazing people I've spoken to, given readings to, have done coaching with, especially so the three centers, the emotional solar plexus, the heart ego center, and the G center, if any or one of those is undefined. And even the spleen, right? Because the spleen used to be the solar plexus together in the chakra system. So people use the term empath for themselves. So I just want to put this out there. Not only if you have an open or undefined solar plexus, you can be empathic. Because just like you know from yourself, you're a highly empathic person, right? And anything, even gaze that are undefined, we can pick up other people's energy. So in that sense, I feel like the majority of us is empathic, right? And the other thing, so you were beautifully explaining that the emotional authority helped you not jump into expensive decisions, right? Which we've all done. And I wanted to share from my experience. So, because that's another thing that I learned in human design. Okay, it's only the emotional authority that has to wait. But if you have sacral authority, you're quick and in da 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 da. Now, here's the thing. One, I have a split. When you have a split, it takes a little bit longer to really tune into your sacral authority. Second, I can amplify your emotional authority, other people's emotional waves and gates and whatever. So for me, actually, with an open solar plexus, it's as important, or maybe even more important, because I don't even know what is mine, right? And I can, if somebody's super like, oh my God, this is the amazing offer, you need to do it now. And I can get so super duper hyped up and then jump into something. And the next day I crush and like, oh my God, what did I do? So in a way, we learn through each other, right? Like through being aware about emotional authority, my open solar plexus has learned it also for myself. And then we reflect it back to each other, kind of, right? It's like the stance. And I think for all of humanity, we are not meant to make, especially big purchases, talking about money here, right? Especially in the like coaching space that has been happening, I think for many of us, that we got like so amped up by somebody else's excitement, which wasn't ours, right? So we all have to be so careful with that. So for me, the emotional authority is a gift for humanity. Thank goodness, seriously. No, because without the defined, I wouldn't have learned about it, right? And I think without the undefined, we couldn't reflect it back, because anything that's defined and undefined is just for us, all of us as humans, to learn, right?
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I love that you brought that up because when I learned the same thing that you learned, right, that the open emotional center is an empath, and I'm like, what? I do have an open G center, which is so much of my story, honestly, that I now realize that I didn't at the time because I was searching for my identity and my direction and my path. But yeah, I love that you bring that up because when we're in our not self, we can be experiencing things that aren't actually ours. There was another point too that I wanted to bring up, something that you had shared. And if it doesn't come back to me, then we will move on. But oh yeah, what I love about it, what I like to say about human design is like we're all puzzle pieces that fit together to make the world a better place.
Yeah, I love that.
And so by amplifying back to each other, right, through our openness, then we are like rising together, lifting each other up, being mirrors for each other. Like, oh, hey, this is you. Do you see you? This is how you want to be. And then the other piece, you know, like you were speaking to, I've heard so much that we gain our wisdom through our openness because we have so many experiences of it, not just the experience of ourselves, but also the experience of every person that we come into contact with who's defined in that area.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit more of a challenge in the beginning. Like for me, the open solar plexus, and like you, right? You struggle with purpose a lot, especially like, where am I going? And now you have become wise about it. And that's actually one thing I want to. So sometimes I heard this in the beginning, like, oh, your open centers are your profit centers. Oh, that's kind of the thing is, though, once you're in your higher expression, not when you're struggling with it, and it's quite the opposite. So once we become, like, I'm sure now you help other people with purpose, right? Even
I
though
do.
you have an undefined center, but because you went through your own challenges there and it took you time, and now you have become wise about it. And for me, it's with the emotions. I used to struggle with it a lot, right? Took on so much from others, super people pleasing all the time, fear of rejection, like through the roof. And now it's my biggest gift. I can help people move through anything. Like, I've heard it all, I've seen it all, especially with my conscious son 13, right? People tell me their stories, and it's also the city of the 13 is empathy, right? So I think it's just so beautiful how it all like dances together. And it's in the end like this big puzzle piece in the beginning. Well, what does mean? What does this mean? And people come to me actually like, okay, how does it all now go together? Because I understand this and this, but what's the story? And over time, I think we can start to read the story that our chart is telling us, right?
Yeah, and it really does take. So, like I said, we can learn the things, but we need to live the experiment because what somebody tells us is true for them might not actually be true for us. And also, you know, I feel like that is, it's a really important point too. We can make ourselves wrong, right? So, we can use our human design to make ourselves right, to make ourselves wrong, and to let ourselves off the hook, right? Because I've done that before. I can't remember what it was, but I was working with my coach and she was like, da 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 da. And I was like, I don't even remember what it was. I'm just going to say, oh, that's my undefined root. I was using it as an
Yeah, I
excuse.
know. No, I know. And I have actually seen people that got really pissed about it or upset. I think it's, I use it now with a sense of humor, like, because it gives me just more compassion for myself. It's not even an excuse in that some way. It's like, okay, I'm operating here from the lower expression of my undefined root because I'm trying to get rid of the pressure, which
Yeah.
doesn't work anyways.
Oh yeah, that's a whole other thing. I'm undefined in my head, my G, and my root. And yeah, I feel a lot of pressure a lot of the time, which is probably, I think, so I like to say this, you know, I've done, I have 70 plus human design readings. And what I like to say to people is your design is not a mistake. Your soul chose this design for a reason. And I think when you look at human design or even the gene keys under that framework, the pieces that could easily become disempowering instead become super empowering. It's like, okay, instead of why do I have to deal with this? It's like, oh, why did my soul choose this? Okay, because then it gives you a different framework to work with, one that actually helps you to take action instead of being in victim.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to say that the gene keys gave me that final understanding of that, because it really honed in that the gift is in the shadow. So if we are not having the courage to even, it's like I see the shadow as the seed of the flower. If I don't have a seed, the flower is never going to come out, right? I can pour as much water down if I want to, but if there's no seed, and if I have the courage to be with the seed in the darkness and the soil and lovingly look at it and be with it, hold it, be compassionate, be patient, then eventually this little green sprout is coming out of the ground, turns into the gift and the city, and it's there, right? So that's why it just dances also so nicely together, right? Because of course the traditional human design focused more on the shadow consciousness, right? But we needed that to wake up. I mean, Ra's 51 gate energy kind of shock us a little bit, wake us up, right? And then Karen Parker came in with a quantum human design. It's a more positive language. And then for me, the Gene Keys put it just all together in such a beautiful, poetic, loving dance.
Yeah, I love that. So I have a friend of mine, and she actually is who turned me on to your podcast. She recommended it to me. And she was asking me, she said, what do you feel is the difference between human design and the Gene Keys? And I said, human design is the structure. And I feel like the Gene Keys are the call forward.
It's the more masculine approach, right? Like structure, exactly. It's like, okay, how are you making decisions? How are you operating in this world? It's a lot of logic and explains things. And there's often, I see this a lot with people, there's the danger of getting caught in too much information, right? But then you're in the head, and that's exactly not where we're supposed to be. And Gene Keys is a very feminine approach. It's about embodiment, to actually ground yourself in the body. And that's also in human design, we have the conscious and the unconscious, right? And we have to be grounded in the physical body and the unconscious before we can live out the soul purpose, right? Because if you're not grounded in the body, and that's where the Gene Keys come in. And I have also experienced sometimes people only in the Gene Keys, it can be too feminine, right? Mm-hmm. And if there's the strategy and authority missing, and because we don't have the types in the Gene Keys, which I love, but I don't need it because I know it from human design at the same time. I don't know how powerful the Gene Keys would be for me if I personally wouldn't have the whole toolkit of human design at the same time. But that's my story, right? I think there's people, they're only into the Gene Keys and it works beautiful. Mm-hmm. There are people that are only into human design and it works beautifully, right? So for me, it's that dance of both of them.
Yes. Yeah. So actually, when I was learning human design, my coach at the time was into, it's funny that you say that, she was into the Gene Keys, but not human design. She didn't really know much about human design at all. And so she wanted to introduce me to the Gene Keys, and she showed me my hologenetic profile, and I read it, and I was like, oh yeah, this is interesting. It resonates. But I couldn't connect with it. Energetically, I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you were talking about the masculine and the feminine, I was very much in my masculine doing energy. And so human design resonated with me more. And it wasn't until it was a journey of probably a couple to 3 years where I was able to shift into more of my feminine that I was then open to hearing what the Gene Keys had to say. And now I can't get enough of it. I absolutely love it. And I love what you were saying, because they work so beautifully together in the yin and the yang, right? The masculine and the feminine. They're very complementary. And we all need them both. We all need them both. And what you were saying about the embodiment, so getting into the body, and we all live in our heads, right? It's because of the society that we live in, right? Where we don't feel safe in our bodies. Mm-hmm. I think especially as humans who have come up in the world in feminine identifying bodies, and not to say that it's not true for other people. Of course it is. We all have our own experiences, but we have come up in a world where the masculine traits were more valued over the feminine. And so of course we would be in our minds and in logic and doing, going, achieving, achieving, because that's what was valued in our society. And it feels very scary, or at least it did for me, because that was so much of my journey. It felt very scary to lean into my feminine. It felt wrong at first because we have made the feminine traits wrong. It felt wrong, and then it felt uncontrollable, almost very wild in such a beautiful way. But when you're initially getting into it, it feels very untamed. And I feel like the gene keys almost gave me a container to explore my feminine in a way that felt wild and safe at the same time, if that even makes sense.
It does, yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I love them. I love them now. At the time, I was like, yeah, they sound nice, whatever. But now I'm like, oh, the gene keys, I'll tell everybody about them. And the book itself is like an oracle. You
It
don't even need
is.
to look at your gene, just open it up and like get the wisdom.
Yeah, and what is also so fascinating, so the 64 archetypal energies, right, which originate from the Chinese I Ching, that's the 64 gates, that's the 64 jing keys, and the jing keys go so much deeper into it. And what I find now is that it's actually, to really understand the jing keys, you have to, in a way, know them all. I have discovered that for myself. Now, the more, and I think Richard Watt said it somewhere in one of the Gene Keys, he was like, to really get this, you kind of, it's once you go through all of the Gene Keys. And I'm understanding this more and more because I have spent a lot of time contemplating the gates over and over again, and now more and more the Gene Keys. Because for me, those 64 energies, they just explain how life and the universe works. And there are some energies that are stronger for us because they are in that profile, in the hologenetic gene keys profile on our human design chart. And all the others, we learn them through others, through our undefinition. I mean, the openness, undefined, right? And the other thing actually that I want to say, because I mean, I see this in the world. In my 13, I'm constantly listening and observing, and it's not that we need gene keys in human design. There's actually people out there that have never heard about it. They live their purpose, like so on point. But I believe it's this big gift from God's source universe, the quantum field, however you want to call it, for all of us that have not had the easy path where we just, oh, I live my purpose. And because we all on the different path, right? It's this gift that, okay, here's a little bit of a shortcut, here's some guidance so you can remember who you are and stop not trusting yourself, right? And trying to chase it outside of yourself. It's this big mirror for humanity, like, hey guys, it's within yourself. Stop chasing, go inside.
Yeah, I agree 100%. There are absolutely people who are out there who have no idea what these things are, and they're unapologetically living their purpose. And I think there's probably a lot more people feeling very lost. And so it is kind of like that map. I when you're talking about it, it's like I see spirit is like, oh, humans, they've got this. They know who they are. They know what they're here to do. And then they're watching and they're like, they're really doubting themselves. Maybe they don't have it. We're sending them all these signs. We keep sending opportunities their way. And they're like, no. All right. Maybe we need to give them a little bit of help. Right. And so then, enter Ra and the human design. And they're like, okay, cool. We got human design. It's going to be great. And then it's like, no, they need more help. Okay, cool. Here comes in Richard Rudd. It's like, here comes the. Right. And of course, there are a zillion other beautiful modalities as well that can help all of us. And really, it's coming back to self. It's because we get so in our mind and so conditioned from life, which is another reason why I absolutely loved learning human design, because it talks about conditioning. Because when we don't have a language to put to it, we don't realize what's going on. We just say, oh, we're being taught. We were being taught to do this. But really, we're being conditioned, especially from a very young age, where we're just taking in information without question. And it just becomes so much of our operating system that we don't even realize that it's there. And what happens, what I love about human design and the gene keys, of course, is that it can show you exactly where you might experience conditioning and how you might experience it, so that you can say, oh yeah, that is me. Wow, I didn't know I had another choice. Or it can say, be what I loved about human design in the beginning when I first started giving readings. So often I would hear from women, they're like, oh my gosh, like I've been making myself wrong for this, and it's just who I am. And so then it gives them permission to go out and be that unapologetically.
No, I feel the same way because it's we fall into this like, yeah, but I was told by this person, if it's your parents or another coach or a friend or whatever, this is how I should do it. And then, yeah, you see this like, but that's not who I am. I'm just like that. And we are different and we're supposed to be different, right? And also, I have to say, so especially in the healing work and the self-development work, right? It's always like, oh, you have all these unlimiting beliefs and all these things. And it's a never-ending list. Also with our relation with money, a big thing, right? It's like never ending. And we can get also too stuck in there's another block and another block and another block. And with the gene keys and human design, it's like focus on this one, like the core wound and the gene keys. I mean, this is gold for everybody. That's the unconscious Mars in your human design profile. Look it up. For me, it's the 40th gene key or human design gate. And that's all about the balance between being and doing, you know, between relaxation and then also from willpower, putting effort and getting things done. And when I read this, I was like, oh my gosh, I guess that's normal that I feel sometimes I'm either fully on and put too much willpower into something and overdo it, or I cannot get out of this resting and, you know, and I mean, my podcast is about slowing down to quantum leap. It's finding that actually that balance between the feminine and the masculine. And that gave me so much compassion for myself. Oh my gosh. And also for me to like, okay, that's the one area I'm going to focus on instead of trying to force myself into, yeah, getting rid of whatever beliefs or whatever, right? So, because that in itself takes care, because I go deep into my DNA and release something that unlocks so much else.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. I love it because it gives you, like you said, it gives you this focus to focus on. And what I love about the gene keys is that he wants you to minimize the focus in the shadow. Whereas typically we go at things and it's like, oh, I've got to fix the shadow before I get to see the goodness come out. And that's not actually true. You just need to allow, accept, and embrace, which I love because, like you said, that is the feminine. It's allow, accept, embrace, where the masculine is like, fix. What do I need to fix? And I find so many women that I've worked with over the years, it's they come to me to be fixed. And it's
Nothing
like,
to
well, what if
fix.
there's nothing wrong with you? Everything is exactly right with you. What if the only thing that's wrong with you is that you think there's something wrong with you?
Exactly. Yes, let's celebrate that. Yeah, because it's here for us to accept who we are, right? Exactly. Yeah, this is true. And I have to say, I was in the beginning, and of course, there are also some people, they're focusing more on their work, also based on their own unique purpose, more on shadow work, right? But yeah, for us, I think the way he said it is like, yeah, work with your shadow and be aware of it, but focus 80% on the gift. So you keep looking at the light, you keep looking at the gift while we're lovingly allowing the shadow to be there in some way, but we're not making it the penetrating focus of everything, right?
And I think that gives a great framework for people to understand, right? Because if you look in the online space, especially when we talk about coaching, you hear about shadow work all the time. And people are like, well, how do I know what my shadow is, right? And I think you and I know that it's the parts of ourselves that we have pushed away, denied, kept down, silenced, severed, really. And so what I love about the gene keys is it's like, here are your shadows. And so it gives you a framework. It doesn't tell you how you experience the shadow in your life, right? It's individual to each person. And that's what I love about like going through and learning your hologenetic profile and then looking at it in the frame of your life. When I first did that, it was mind-blowing and so confronting because I was like showing up. And I love how divine timing works because when I was learning it was showing up for me right before I learned that gene key. And so like the nitpicking and what is like nitpicking is one of my shadows. And I was like nitpicking my husband. And then I go and I learn about it and I learn the shadow and I'm like, oh yeah.
It's always so
There
hilarious,
it
right?
is. Yeah, it works perfectly perfect in divine timing. And I like to say it's like a loving slap in the face. Right. It's like, hey, stop the BS. This is not who you really are.
Yeah, I love that. And I would love to hear a little bit about more your story and like what was the one thing that you learned in your human design or your gene keys where you're like, oh, that's my purpose, what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for.
Oh boy, I'll be honest, I keep learning and keep uncovering new pieces. But recently I was looking at a couple different pieces, and it's like, okay, so what I love about this is we all, believe it or not, we know who we are. We know what we're here to do. Our consciousness is carrying that with us from the time we're born till the time that we die. It's never not available to us. You don't need someone else to tell you. You might desire to have someone else to remind you, which is what I feel like human design and gene keys do, but you don't need someone to tell you. And when I look at my design, I was looking at my unconscious north node yesterday, and it's 18.1, I believe. And it was talking about basically, I believe that was one where it was talking about teaching people how to grow up. Essentially is what it is, so that they can parent themselves and then show up and be more effective parents in the world. And I thought that's interesting. I don't specifically work with like parents, but I do a lot of inner child work and reparenting ourselves. And what I've noticed that I've worked with women over the years, no matter what I was calling myself, is helping them to step into womanhood. Because so often we don't realize that we're walking around so emotionally immature. Because we've been taught, right? We've been taught, or we've been steeped in these beliefs that are not helpful when it comes to the feminine. And often the models of feminine that we have seen, and I know this like in my family lineage, it's the wounded feminine, where it's showing up in victim or showing up like with the drama and the backbiting and all of those things. And it's like this beautiful invitation to step into the divine feminine, right? Where we're empowered and where we are owning that beautiful gift of compassion that you so often talk about, right? That we have to share with the world. And I notice that that's something that I'm doing now. To be fair, somebody else might look at that and see something completely different. But when I look at it, it's like, oh, okay, this is how it makes sense in my life. And again, it gives me that permission to start owning that if I choose when I'm marketing myself or when I'm offering my services with people. Because it's easy to say, oh, I do human design readings or gene keys. I've actually created a purpose reading that involves human design, the gene keys, also the Akashic Records reading. It's like this compilation of all these amazing gifts.
I
But
love it.
you need to speak to the human and what it is that they're actually looking for. Now, I don't think any of us are saying walking around saying, I want to be more emotionally mature, but we do want to step into an empowered place in our life where we're making confident decisions, where we're showing up for ourselves, where we are showing up in behavior that is more supportive and less sabotaging.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. No, and everything goes back to, if I would put it in one word, is self-trust, right? These tools are here just to hear, yeah, to this one thing, listen to your heart and trust yourself. And so basically the same thing. And I think all these like ancient modalities and wise teachers that are out there, they're saying all the same thing. It's just we're not getting it. So that's why the divine is sending us more and more stuff to like, hey guys, can you just trust yourself? It's way easier than you think. That's the thing. We make it way too complicated. Way too complicated. And the thing is also with, yeah, human design and gene keys, oftentimes people, especially with the gene keys I have recently, and it's so on time how I'm now we're recording this podcast. There's also another podcast come out that I was on. I talked about the gene keys like months ago. And it's now coming out. I just got the email today. And in my membership also we talk now about gene keys has been coming up more and more. People are curious about it. They ask more questions about it. And it's not a quick thing, right, to explain. And everybody that's listening to, like, the main thing, you have to be patient. And yeah, we can hear, we can guide you reading or in whatever capacity. We probably both share a lot on social media about it, listen to the podcast episodes, right? But nobody can do the contemplation for you. That takes so much time and It's the most in-depth, beautiful thing. And like you say, for you, the 18 may something totally different than it may mean for you. Like, I personally don't have it defined, but I have gate 58, which is that harmonic gate on the channel. So there's also something with the 18 for me, right? And yesterday I was actually, that's another thing. So not every human design gate is in your Jinki's profile, right? And yesterday I looked up gate 34, which is in my human design chart, but it's not in my Jinki's because it's in my Uranus. And it also gave me this realization because I'm a manifesting generator. And yes, there was a time I needed more rest because I could really, I can power through, definitely. But what I have been realizing lately, I need to freaking move my body more. I really need the 34 is the gate of power. And I actually did a whole podcast episode about Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's his north south node, conscious and unconscious. And he talked about this energy. I really learned this through him, I have to be honest. And also my grandma, she has that in her conscious sun, the 34. She's always doing something, if it's cooking in the garden, the laundry, but with so much grace. And she needs that actually. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was like, no, I have to just be busy. And now he's I think 75, and he has like animals at home, and he's actually cleaning everything every morning and running outside with them because he needs to be physically busy and active. And it says in the Jinkies, and that's exactly what he said in the documentary that's called Arnold. Like, if I'm not doing something, I just get in my head and I'm making it doesn't serve me. And I can relate to this too. If I'm not doing anything, I'm just sitting on the couch and like start to think too much, especially with my gate 61. It's like, yeah, it's not funny. And when I just go out for a walk, I just move my body, just let me mop the floor or whatever it is. I feel so much better, right? So it's, I don't know, it's just like, and of course we have heard these things, yeah, we need to be physically active, but the way that I, Annalena, receive it through the gene keys, it just clicks. It sinks in. It's like, ah, oh, yeah, I get it. And deep inside, I know it, but there's also a timing for everything, right? And I had to so radically slow down to receive that wisdom. You know, without, if I would have just pushed and pushed and forced, I wouldn't have been open to receive any of that, you know, and gotten that clarity for myself. Just felt like sharing that because it's like, yeah, it's your Jinkies profile, but for me at this point, I guess because I have been contemplating most of my Jinkies in my profile already, like now going into these little nuances is so juicy. It's fascinating. And again, it takes time. You can shortcut this. It's not one piece of information that's going to do it for you. It's being open to it. Ask powerful questions. Ask for guidance when you need it. But you have to go in it. Get the Jinkies book, start to read the Jinkies, and let your DNA start to work for you.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's exactly what happens, right? It's an activation in your DNA when you say, okay, I'm yes for this. I'm going to learn about this. And I couldn't agree more. It is a very personal process. In the readings that I do, I don't share the Venus sequence. Because I don't feel like there's value in it if you're not going through it yourself. Now, to be fair, you need to go through all of them. But I do feel like you can get wisdom from the activation and the pearl that can serve you without the in-depth contemplation that is required, I believe, of the Venus sequence. And you know, of course, Richard Rudd says that as well, because the Venus sequence is so personal to your life experiences.
I've done it. I went through it. It was very deep. And you, yeah, like you say, you have to go through it yourself. I agree.
It is, and it's the journey into the heart. I've gone through it a couple of times, and every time I learn something different or I see something in a different way. And I feel like divine timing is important when we come to these things because you're going to get what you need at that moment. And then when you go back in again, you're going to get what you need at that moment. And it's all supportive of us, you know, being the fullest expression of who our soul came here to be in human form. I think it's easy to bypass and think about only the soul or only the human, right? And we're both of those things. I love you sharing your experience about getting in your body because for me, that's been to get in my body in a very masculine way. And I'm talking about energy, I'm not talking about gender. But to exercise and run, no problem. But what I love to do is to dance and move in very feminine and fluid ways. But my masculine was like, well, later if there's time for that. And then it would never happen. But I always would exercise. I would get up in the morning and exercise. Whereas for me, so part of my activation sequence or my incarnation cross is the 2343. And so to me, like thinking has always been this thing that's been with me that has been so important for me to do. Now, the frame that I did, it was very important, right? Because if I was overthinking things for myself, beating myself up, not helpful, right? Or being judgmental of others. But understanding things, coming to understand the way that things work, has been so instrumental in my life. I remember as a teenager just laying in bed trying to figure things out. I'm like, oh, why did people choose that? Or why did they act the way that they did? And then to eventually learn that that's part of who I'm here to be, that I'm, because I have the cross of explanation, and that I'm here to explain things in a way to help them understand. Now I get it, because I think before I would have made myself wrong for being in my head so much, and it's actually just what's right about me and what's required for whatever the mission is that my soul came here to share.
I actually have a question for you because I have seen, so you have a triple split, right? And you have the
Yes.
Ajna defined to the throat, and then there is the split, the first one. What I have noticed many times, I mean, you're a generator, right? As you know, but many people that have this, they also can really relate to a mental projector because up here, you're a mental projector, right? You're still a generator, of course, in essence, that's who you are. But you have two channels, the 1762 as well. Like, you need to talk things out. Like, there's so much going on in your head, right? Like, I mean, just asking you, is that your experience?
Yeah, it really is. Like I all the time talk things out, not to get anybody's advice, but to hear, like to hear what's true for me, to hear my truth and what I'm saying. I find myself doing that a lot with my husband in the morning. We just sit out front and I share what's going on with my day, what I'm thinking about, what's coming up. And he's a wonderful listener as well. And he just listens and holds space and doesn't try to give me any advice, which is
That's
beautiful, except when
awesome.
I want advice. He's not giving it to me. But I do find that that's true. And I also find the frustration of the triple split of like, it's almost like this. Like there's something in the way of my energy moving, you know, and I wouldn't have had any words to put to it before learning my human design, but it can be very frustrating.
Yeah, I'm just looking when we connect. So I have the 13, then you have the G center defined. I have the 214 channel. Yeah, I think we no longer have a split when we come together. But yeah, it's so fascinating. Even like for me, I think anytime we have something defined to the throat, I have the 2145 channel to the throat. And that channel too is like I need to hear myself sometimes. And then I talk and I'm like, oh, I know. You know, it's that's why I think like sometimes when we get only into the type, it's like, oh no, like you're a generator, like nothing of the other type applies to you, but it's so fluid. I mean, your chart as an emotional projector could look so different. You could be a single definition and you have two centers defined, but you're triple split and have six centers defined, right? I mean, so it's yeah. And oh my God, I have learned so much from other people, like when I did readings, right? Every time I learned so much. And at this point, it's just like, I almost like, because you know, we have this term, I'm a psychic, but I think we're all psychics, if you ask me. But like human design, like really makes you look when you get really deep into it, because people are like, how do you know? It's like, well, I mean, you know, it's just, and then my undefined head and Ajna, I can pick up things before they're spoken oftentimes. So, yeah. But it's just there, it's written in the stars. And when you know these energies, it's just reflecting back to you what you already know, right?
I
So
love that.
what's your favorite part of your human design chart? Anything like you like?
That I love.
I mean, all of it, I
Honestly, that I
guess, but
love.
is there something in particular where you're like, gave you super much relief or
Good Good question. I love this question. The first thing that comes to mind is having my ajna and throat connected, which can also get me in trouble. But like very quickly, I'm able to download often, not always, often what it is that I'm thinking and translate it into words that make sense in the way that give the appropriate meaning or feeling behind them, which is quite helpful. But also because of the open head center, I feel pressure to blurt out things that come to my mind, and that can be difficult. That is still something that I'm learning to dance with and navigate. I know it's just I was talking on the phone with my aunt and she said something and I so badly want to respond to it. So I want to interrupt her, but I need to lean back. And it's like, okay, but do I actually need to share this? Does this need to be heard? And so that can be difficult for me, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge. I also see that, especially the 2343 channel, because people perceive you as a freak, right? When we don't wait for the invitation or the right, and you can sense it in your body, right? When it's from pressure versus it just flows. Because when it flows, there's no resistance, it feels clean in the body. And again, I don't have that. I think I have the 23 is in my Chiron or something, but I don't have them connected. So, but yeah, you have to, I mean, you're a genius at sharing, speaking out what's on your mind for sure. So I love that. And then you also have, so your pearl is my north node. So
Oh,
the
interesting.
62, right, about the details and making things practical and easy. So I always love to see also kind of the things we have in common.
I love that. Yeah, I'm jealous that you got to look at both of our charts. Oh, I
Yeah,
love that. So
it's beautiful.
you were talking about your grandmother's chart. So are you, because this is what I do, I'm just curious to know if you do it. Like, I want to get my hands on everybody that I love's charts. And I want to understand them better. Like, not from a place of putting them in a box, like, oh, this is who, but to understand, like, on a deeper level, like, what makes them tick.
Oh yes, I have pulled, to be honest, all of my family's chart. I kind of like, hey, my mom, like, hey, when are you born again? And she's like, why do you? And they're not into human design. My family, like, none of them. I mean, some of my sisters are starting to get curious about it, but I have learned by now, like, you cannot push this onto anybody. If they want to know, they come to me. But I, especially my mom and my dad and my grandparents, I couldn't figure out the exact time they were born, but I ran the chart and, like, I think all of my grandparents, except one, they were like manifesting generators too, and with a 3420 channel. Very interesting. And I only have one of my grandmas, she's still alive. She's 92, I think, now, and she's still so active and agile and full of life. And yes, I do it exactly what you say to just understand them better and actually to learn about the energies. Like, she shows me the 34 energy. That's her conscious son. My dad is a emotional projector. He has the ajna defined, and it explains everything. Like, very stubborn, and then this emotional 34, 40, 37 wave. I think that's his, or something like that. And both of my parents were actually emotional authority. My mom a manifester, my dad a projector. Me, Annalena, having a completely open ESP. No wonder I felt a whole lot. And I
Yeah, I was
always,
going to ask.
as a child, I always tried to be the mediator between them when they were like arguing. Like, every I went downstairs and I tried to create peace and harmony. So it was so painful, I guess, for my open ESP at the time. And it's not to blame my parents. They did the best they can, right? Or could, and still do. So, but it gave me also so much compassion for myself, also understanding my sisters better. Yeah, everybody. It's just I could, like, with certain things that would still kind of upset me otherwise, I'm just at peace. And like, I myself went into a place of just accepting myself more and everybody in my family, and really, really realizing everybody's just doing exactly what they're supposed to do.
Yes, and the best that they can, right? Like, as parents, we're all
Yeah.
just doing the best that we can. I love that though, because that's it's another piece of it, right? We are basically conditioned to all be the same. We expect everybody to think like we do, act like we do, behave, right? And human design says, actually, nope.
Yeah.
Here, look at this. And so, like you said, it allows you to give compassion to people because you understand that they are built differently, and here's a language to talk about it.
Yeah, and now my daughter, understanding her human design has been priceless because she's a 4/6 Mani gem with a 3/4/20 channel. And I don't have the full channel. I just have the 34, 34/57 I have. It's a different animal. Like, I cannot keep up with her power. She's constantly on the go and busy and making arts, paint explosions and crafts, and always on to the next. It can get very messy at times, but understanding her human design has helped me. I mean, look, there's still things I find challenging and struggle sometimes with because I want it to be neater and tighter and more cleaned up and everything. But just knowing that she's a manager and she's a 4/6, so the 3 line of the six right now is just more, ex even more experimental than the 3 line itself. So that just gives me, like, she's doing what she's supposed to do, right? And I'm here to learn from her as well, maybe to be a little bit more relaxed sometimes. So
Yeah, kids are definitely here to teach us, for sure.
yeah.
And I love that because it gives you, again, that framework to understand her on a deeper level so that you can intentionally choose your behavior, whereas you might not have otherwise and would have been like, you're making a mess. Stop doing this. And it's important for her to get messy.
And in particular, that, and our Jinkies has helped me with that as well, because they talk, especially in the Venus sequence, talk so much about the 7 year cycles and our role as parents. We're here to learn from our kids, but we are so much into this, I need to fix my child. And that's the completely wrong way.
Yeah, there's nothing to fix. They come in perfectly perfect. And I feel like so much of our needing to fix our children is it's really what we're trying to do is we're trying to heal our inner child
Of
through
course,
our children, right? And so, but we don't realize that. And so when you learn that, you can step back, do your own work, and then it directly affects your child and how they're showing up.
And of course, we need to set healthy boundaries and all these things, right? We need to be a role model as a parent as well. But it's not like that the child's behavior is the issue. It's always a reflection of what's going on with myself, right? So it's not always easy to admit that at the same time. But yeah, they're the biggest blessing. And I guess we could talk on for 10 hours. There's so much to talk about.
I would
But I,
love to.
yeah, well, maybe we're gonna have another episode. So what I wanted to ask you, so how can people get in touch with you if they are keen to book a session with you? How can they find you?
Yeah, so they can find me on my website and it's jenbeverage.com, beverage just like a drink. People always love that last name. And it's or at Jen Beverage on Instagram is the best ways to find me. But yeah, we like to have fun with that last name when we go to places and it says no beverages allowed. Guess we
What?
can't go in. Or caution, hot beverage. I'm like, yes, I am.
Yeah, you are a hot beverage. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I definitely like a good beverage, especially when it's so hot outside.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. I will definitely drop everything in the show notes. And one final question, which you may know, I ask people this. What's your one little nugget of wisdom you want to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, I would say there's nothing wrong with you. You're exactly where you need to be, and just trust yourself.
Yeah. And if that's just, it's not easy, look into human design and Jinkies.
Yeah,
Maybe that
100%.
helps.
Yeah, it has helped me. I love that you had brought that up because that helped me to learn to trust myself as well and to trust what was actually true about me instead of, like you said, what other people tell you should be doing.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Because it's also okay if that just trust yourself is not easy for us, then okay, well, let's get resourceful. Let's look at the tools that we have. And that's why, like, I think anybody that's listening to this podcast, they're here for a reason, right? Because your body somehow wanted you to be here. And your body always takes you where the answers are.
Oof, that's a wisdom bomb right there. That's
Right?
beautiful.
It's a writer downer. I had a coach that always think it's a writer downer.
I love that.
Awesome. Beautiful, Jen. Thank you so much for this conversation. My sacral is lit up. I'm full of
Mine
energy
too.
right now.
Yay, thank you. Thank you, Annalena.
Yeah, my pleasure. So thank you for being here. And listeners, I trust you had an amazing time. I think you learned a lot, especially if you have been waiting for some more Jinkies wisdom as well. I wish you all a beautiful rest of your day, and I'm very excited to be with you all on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, then please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. And if you also know someone that you know in your heart could benefit from listening to this podcast, then I invite you to please share and help me reach more conscious leaders so we together can create global impact. I truly appreciate you, and see you next time.